Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, but before we get started, I want to read you a brief statement by John Calvin regarding the preacher's task. This is the best and most useful exercise in humility when God accustoms us to obey His word, even though it be preached through men like us and sometimes even by those of lower worth than we. If He spoke from heaven, it would not be surprising if His sacred oracles were to be received without delay by the ears and minds of all. For who would not dread the presence of His power? Who would not be stricken down at the sight of such great majesty? Who would not be confounded at such boundless splendor? But when a puny man, risen from the dust, speaks in God's name, at this point we best evidence our piety and obedience toward God if we show ourselves teachable toward His minister, although He excels us in nothing. Excellent words by our dear brother, Mr. Calvin. Proverbs chapter 15, and today, starting at verse 14. Proverbs 15, 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Let's turn over also to 15:21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. And Proverbs 21, verse 15. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man or woman, boy or girl, that has been born again and has an understanding of divine and spiritual things of the gospel and the truths of it, is earnestly and diligently going to seek more of the knowledge of the Lord and to know more of Christ. This is the individual that has been born again, whether it's a man, woman, boy, or girl that has been born again. They are going to seek to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will seek to know Him, and they will not be content with the things that they have already received or already learned. They want to learn more. They want to learn more of the Lord. It's not going to be that today we will learn something of the Lord and tomorrow I'm not going to need to know anything more than what I know today. That would be ridiculous. They will hear, they will read, they will pray, and they will meditate in order to come to that more perfect knowledge of the Son of God and of those things which relate to their own spiritual peace and their own eternal welfare. This is the actions of a believer, regardless of age, a wise believer. not the fool. But the mouth of fools, as our verse in 14 says, the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. The mouth of fools truly do feed on foolishness. They feed on foolish talking, foolish joking, on foolish and unlearned questions, on foolish and false doctrines, on foolish and hurtful lusts. As it were, they seek to feed themselves, if it were like there would be a pile of ashes. They would seek to eat the ashes, which would be utterly foolish. And it's not only foolish, they take satisfaction in those things. They enjoy those things. 1 Timothy 6:4. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. They are proud, they know nothing, and they're going about with these questions that are foolish questions. They're just strifes over words. 2 Timothy 2:23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. So Paul's message to Timothy is to avoid these things, these foolish and unlearned questions. They will feed their fancy with them, as it were, to a feast. The foolish, which actually shows what fools they are. And so are all of the unconverted. But when one has spiritual understanding, when one has been given the gift of spiritual understanding, it will stimulate the desire to know more of spiritual things and of the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 1:9. My son, hear instruction. Hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. One is to hear the instruction of a father and of a mother. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So if you are a teacher and you're teaching a group of individuals, and you have a wise man and an unwise man, what will be the difference between the two? The wise man is going to hear, he's going to receive that instruction, and he's going to be yet the wiser for it. What about David in Psalm 119? Psalm 119, 97. Again, a reflection upon what we read this morning out of Psalm 95. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Again, this is what we have read this morning is so much in harmony with what you are hearing this morning as well. When one has been taught by the Lord, as the psalmist says in verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Many times the young believer has more understanding than his teacher because he has a mind that has been enlightened. Now, while the teacher may know more about a specific subject than him, yet that young believer, because of what he's been taught by God, has more insight than his teacher. Because he can recognize that much of the worldly teaching that would be given out is false. It is in contradiction to the Word of God. What about David's son Solomon? 1 Kings chapter 3. First Kings chapter 3, 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? An understanding heart. That's the heart that we need to have. An understanding heart. And as David asked, or as Solomon asked for that, so might you. The Bereans in Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. All of these show the heart seeking a larger interest in a blessing. This in itself is a gift. This in itself, these warm affections, if you have these warm affections, the need of discipline, of knowledge, to form Christian consistency and completeness. Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So here that our love would abound, and that so now love is combined with knowledge and judgment. Psalm 119, 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Do you believe God's commandments? Ask for knowledge. To the heart of him that hath understanding, seeketh knowledge. It's the seeking after wholesome food. And that's what it's like. And that's the picture that I want you to get. It is as what is food for the body contrasted to food for the soul. The wholesome food for the body, not the intoxicating things of the world. Not the things that are like a novelty. Are you familiar with what they call that in the grocery store when you walk by the ice cream case? And you see all of the other things other than the ice cream? Those are called novelties. That's not what we're to be looking for. Because that's all they are. They're merely a novelty. It's not something that we are to... That's not to be our diet. It's not that which is going to feed our body, nor in the things of spiritual things is it going to be that which feed our soul. But isn't it interesting that those novelties are very pleasurable? We find great pleasure in them. Even the mentioning of them, I noticed that some of you smile at that. And if you know me, you know that I smile at that too. But that's the thing. They're pleasurable to us. We take enjoyment of them. But while the man of understanding is never satisfied with that mere knowledge, while the fool, on the other hand, is fully satisfied with his folly, because his tastes feed upon foolishness. His tastes feed upon foolishness as his meat, as his diet, and as his drink. 1 Corinthians 15:47. And 48, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. This man that is the foolish man, That's how he's described, as being of the earth and earthy. He's going to feed upon foolishness. Now, young people need to be aware of the sinful allurements of the world. And the sinful allurements of the world is much like passing by that ice cream case with all of the novelties. It's like walking by a huge, endless novelty case. And in the matter of spiritual things, we need to beware of preferring those things that are really only empty to preferring the richness of the Word of God. The fool, on the other hand, is going to be perfectly satisfied with all of them. He's going to have no problem in making his total diet upon those things. And so it is with the spiritual life. He has no interest in the things that are good for his soul. He takes no interest in them at all. He takes no pleasure in them. He only takes pleasure in those things that are foolish. I happened to mention this last week to two of the people that I work, two women that I work with. If they happen to see a certain program on KPBS, or I ask them if they saw this certain program, and they both looked at me like sometimes my dog looks at me, you know, when he cocks his head from side to side, and they didn't know what I was talking about. And they said, "Well, where'd you see that?" And I said, on KPBS. And they both just kind of chuckled and said, "I don't watch KPBS. Why would you even ask me such a question?" And I thought, this is so true. It's so typical that there's going to be nothing. The diet is something of total triviality. And so when something is mentioned that is good, it's laughed at. I don't want any of that. Let me ask a question. Do tastes differ? Do our tastes differ? Do you think that all of our tastes differ from one another? Of course they do. They do because God has created us that way. What if we all only liked one type of food, whatever that is? That there would be no variety at all. What about in His creation? There are those where water is their element, where they live. To another, the air. One cannot live in the other. They can't trade places. God that created the fish does not live outside of the water. The dog does not live under the water. It is God that made the difference. In many cases, the same food that to one is poison, to another is food. And how true this is when it comes to the believer, to the wise and to the foolish. To the one, to the foolish, that which is his food is poison to the believer. And that which is food to the believer is, as it were, poison to the unwise. We certainly see this among men when viewed in their spiritual relations. There is a similar variety of tastes and a similar variety of pleasures. We first see this between the old man and the new man. Ephesians 4:20. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. But we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. And let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we have this list. We have this old man and the new man described here. And this laundry list of how one was as the old man, and all of those things are to be put off. The change in one's nature is radically different. And the change in one's appetite is also radically different. Those things which once were his appetite, the things that he desired after, only the things that he wanted, are now repulsive to him. He no longer wants those things. His spiritual appetite has been changed. It's been changed by God. He is a new man. Old things are cast off, and all things are become new. The life of the foolish individual, the foolish man, the foolish woman, the foolish boy or girl, their appetite is vastly different than the appetite of the Christian. The Christian, the believer that has been born again, their spiritual appetites are different. And if your spiritual appetite is not after the Word of God, you need to examine your life. If the things that you desire are the things of the old man, you need to examine your life very carefully. Make no mistake in this. I was thinking about when Paul was speaking this morning, I was thinking about how quickly time passes and how quickly we will be at the end of our life. And here's where I think there is a great misconception. You will say today, if you speak of something in the past, something enjoyable or something that you recall in the past, when you remember that and you call it to remembrance, you bring it up and in your mind's eye you see it just as clearly as it was happening today. And you just remember it so clearly. And if you're asked about it, you're able to tell in great detail exactly what happened and how it happened and who was there and what kind of a day it was and everything. It's just like it was yesterday. But I think, especially with young people, that they think that at life's end, and generally at life's end for a young person means that it's way out in the distance, that's a long way off, and yet when you're there, when it comes to the end of your life and you're looking back, whether you are at this stage in your life, or at this stage in your life, or at this stage in your life, as you look back over your life, that was my whole life. And it doesn't seem any different for each person along the way as they look back, because they recount it just as it was yesterday. The only difference is time is now past, and there's no fixing everything that has gone before. Our life is over. There's no more time for repentance. There's no more time to change that lifestyle that you once lived, because your life is now over. You've come to that last day. What are you to do with that? What are you to do with the Word of God? Because that's what we are faced with. The Word of God that never changes. We're ready to enter eternity. And I don't think we have a full grasp of what that is. We think that it's always in the future. And it may be today. And how sad if we live our lives and we think that, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to change, and the next day I'm going to change, and next year I'm going to change. And the sad thing about it is, day after day after day goes by, and year after year goes by, and there's no change. We just go on like we were. And then our life ends. And then we say, or we're ready and we say, my life is gone, and I should have done this and I should have done that. I should have listened to those teachers that taught me. I should have listened to my parents. And we didn't. Hopefully, that is not a description of your life. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the solemnity of your word. What are we to do with the word of God? We pray, Lord, that our lives might be characterized by that of the wise man and not of the foolish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.